Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 4. I'll be reading verses 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. As you follow along in your own Bibles or on the screen in front of you, let us hear from the word of the Lord from the Gospel of Mark. Verse 35, that day when evening came, he, that is Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the reading of the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God's word. Jesus said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So our prayer this morning as we look to God's word, that it will, this living, true word of God, bless you today. Now, as I looked at this passage, this picture came up as I Googled it. And this picture really, I love how it captures the powerful message in this passage. Here we have the darkness surrounding and closing in on the disciples. They're afraid for their lives. But if you notice in this particular picture of this passage, this account of Jesus calming the storm, look who's at the center. The light of the world. The one who came to rescue the perishing. The one who came to give us hope and peace in our storms, in our trials, in our hardship. We can relate to this picture in so many ways when we think about our own lives and the trials that we go through. All around Jesus, you see the disciples, they're just straining, they're struggling, they're trying to keep their heads above the water, literally. And so often in life, that's how it feels like too when things are crashing down on us. But there Jesus is, our strong, steadfast Savior, there to lead us to the other side. Isn't he so good at doing that every day? No matter the issue, how minor, how major, there Jesus is with us, calming the storm. You can go on to the next slide. You know, something a little personal and, I don't know, just the Lord's way of helping me through the week was when I was reading through this passage and I was at verse 35 and Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side." After I read that, that's when I got the call from Michael Sommerfeld that Jesus had come. And I just pictured Jesus saying, "All right, Sue, I'm taking you to the other side." Pretty neat, eh? And that's what Jesus does. He sees us to the other side. That being from earth to glory. I thought that was just a nice little powerful way of God's word telling us again why we're here and where we're going. But as we look to God's word and as we look to this passage again and the stilling of the storm, again, we have this striking picture of the Christian life. And the Christian life, and for those that have accepted Christ as their Savior, and we now are in this life each day striving to seek Christ and to be more like Christ with all that God has given to us to live this way, we know that once it begins, it's never plain sailing. In fact, the Christian life is rarely a smooth ride. It's a roller coaster journey of faith. It's a journey from earth to heaven, a journey of ups and downs. And sometimes it becomes very stormy and our faith fails and our Lord seems to be sleeping. Where are you, Lord? Sometimes life can be very fearful and we feel like the storm will swallow us up. We can become overwhelmed. We can be like the disciples in that boat, besieged, consumed, crushed, beaten down. For storms are never easy and they can be very frightening. And they can turn your world upside down, and that, which leads to questions of why, Lord? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And when times feel difficult, it is even more important than to trust in the Lord and lean into his everlasting arms. Why? Because our God does not change. He is unshakable. He is faithful. He is forgiving. He is steady like an anchor. God's unchanging character can give us a firm foundation when things feel unsteady and uncertain. And our society, which is always changing and seems to be getting worse to live in, at times like this, even more, do we need to rest assured that God is in control, that we can trust in his word, and that we need to not only trust it, but obey it and let it, allow it to lead us. I'm very thankful for how Pastor Lionel opened this morning with these basic believing beliefs that Christians have because of the Bible that we must hold firmly to, especially at a time like this when there's so much uncertainty and society is changing so rapidly. But I know we all can relate to the fact that life can be going along smoothly for a season, then all of a sudden it can fall apart. Things that you felt secure in all of a sudden feel shaky and uncertain. How do you trust God when you do not understand what is happening? When you cannot see a resolution? And these are very valid, real questions. And God, let me tell you, he wants to help you navigate through them. So ask God to help you draw close to him in your storms of life as you put your trust in him. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "You keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And this is a Bible verse about focus, where you are fixing your eyes at a time when things around you are falling apart. Whose mind, Isaiah says, is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So as we look at our verses today, we begin at verse 35. Join me in your Bibles as we go through this powerful account of Jesus calming the storm. And it's incredible the discipleship lessons that we learn just from this passage. There are a few that the Holy Spirit just revealed to me that I want to share with you, but there are so much more. So even after this morning, go back to this passage and keep reading and studying it, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you more spiritual truth that we need to learn as disciples of Christ and live out in our lives. So the passage begins with verse 35. "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat." And so after a full day of ministry, because as you begin in chapter 4, Jesus has had a very long day of teaching. But of course, the disciples have been with him not just for this time of teaching believers and equipping potential believers of Christ, but they have seen him heal a paralytic. They have seen crowds of people follow Christ, and they're seeing Jesus work miracles and wonders. And it's been a full day of ministry. And then Jesus says, "Let us go over to the other side." So Jesus spoke to his disciples, we see that clearly, and he tells them what they're going to do. The plan was simple. Let's get into the boat and go across the lake, the Sea of Galilee. Now, an important discipleship lesson right at the beginning we see in these two verses is that when Jesus tells you to do something, you do it. You need to do it, and you need to trust in his word to see you through. The disciples listen to Jesus, and the disciples do as Jesus said. The very important lesson of obedience to God's word. But as you will see, about midway across the sea when the storm comes, their faith gets challenged. They struggle in their belief. They fail to trust what Jesus said would happen. And what did Jesus say would happen? "Let us go over to the other side." Jesus had said, this is what's going to happen. And I think the storm comes up and they forget to rely on that promise. They struggle in their faith. The disciples, you see, that were with Jesus, they knew all about this body of water. And they had crossed the Sea of Galilee 100 times before. As seasoned fishermen, they had seen the Sea of Galilee in all kinds of weather. So when Jesus mentioned that they would cross to the other side of the lake, it was no big deal. They got into the boat and they set sail for the eastern shore. What does Jesus do? He moves in to the stern of the boat. He settles in onto the gear with a cushion and he fell asleep. He fell asleep because he was tired. Had been a full day. And like the disciples, Jesus needed to rest as well. And so it looked like a clear night as they got off, pulled off to shore, pushed off to shore and started going across the sea. The sea was not rough. There was no indication that the short crossing over Galilee would be anything but safe. But then the storm came, apparently out of nowhere. Verse 37. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. The word translated in Greek for squall here indicates something peculiar about the storm. It indicates no ordinary wind, not even to a strong wind or gale force wind. It actually refers to a whirlwind, a wind with violent and furious gusts accompanied by floods or rain and big waves. And as we see in the storm, it was throwing everything topsy-turvy. And so there is no way that these disciples, with their limited resources, could have foretold the coming of this storm. It happened. It appeared out of nowhere. And isn't that so true about life, when our storms come as well? Life can be just fine. Everything seems sunny and clear, and we are progressing nicely when all of a sudden a raging storm descends upon us. And that storm can be channeled in a moment, right? Can be channeled by a phone call, for example, bearing bad news. Or that storm might threaten everything that you hold dear, whatever that situation, that circumstance you had no idea was going to happen. It's happening now. And then everything you hold dear, your home, your finances maybe, your family, your health, your marriage, is now upside down. And that storm may come without warning and without mercy, without respect to you or your dreams and your ambitions and your goals. And that storm is a crisis of life, isn't it? Like any crisis, call it what you will, addiction, stress, death, depression, divorce. It's a crisis, and when you are in it, there seems to be no way out. And we are reminded in Scripture that, listen, this world is a world of trouble. This world is a world of hardship and hurting and suffering, and we're not going to escape it. Hear these words from the book of Job, Job 5, verse 7. Yet man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. And Job 14, 1 says, mortals born of women are a few days and full of trouble. And Jesus even warned us in the Gospels that in this life we would have trouble. But then he said, take heart, I have overcome the world. So these sinking disciples, they were in a lot of trouble. They were in a lot of hardship. They were bailing out water as fast as they could. But their boat was filling up fast. They had gone from being calm and peaceful to being fearful and worried. It's amazing, isn't it, how your day can go like that too. It can start very peaceful and calm, and then by the afternoon, whatever's happened, it could be fearful and worried. There could be panic and stress. Here they are, the disciples, now staring death in the face. All the while, what is Jesus doing? He is sleeping. He is resting. Eventually, disciples give up trying to survive the storm on their own, and they turn to Jesus to wake him up. Look at verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we drown?" So clearly, they're overwhelmed. As you read through this passage, you feel what they're feeling, just thinking about what they're going through. And so they ask Jesus, "Do you not even care?" What a question, and what a question that reveals and exposes their state of mind and their heart. And why did Jesus, and why did they ask Jesus this? Why? And I'm sure that you were yelling too. Well, it's because they were afraid. They were overwhelmed. And there's nothing wrong with being honest about our pain and frustration before the Lord. And I hope you've learned that lesson in life. Even just from reading through the Bible, we see men and women of the Bible who understood this. For instance, David, if you read through the Psalms, he poured out his heart to God in the Psalms. Whether it was through anger or just frustration and confusion, he constantly let the Lord know how he was doing. And it wasn't always positive. But we learn this throughout Scripture. Job expressed deep anguish in the midst of his incredible grief and suffering. Hannah, who couldn't have kids for the longest time, poured out her complaint before God. Why, Lord? If you're hurting today, the Lord doesn't expect you to cover it up with a plastic smile. Tell him what you're really thinking and feeling, whether through prayer or through journaling. Turn it over to him in prayer, whatever it is that you are hung up on. For the Lord has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. He hears your prayers, even in the dark times when he seems absent and silent. Now, the disciples' faith, was it challenged? Yes, it was challenged. They were in the middle of a hardship, a storm that was threatening their lives. We have all experienced the power of storms, even recently. And what do we see as a result of these storms? Well, you probably saw some of the images of Barry this week with that tornado that went through. Storms can tear roofs off buildings. They can flatten fences. They can blow over trees. The storm exposes and can expose at times poor workmanship, shallow roots, decaying timbers. And the storms in life have the ability to do the same, to bring to the surface what's really inside of us, where we're at. It exposes the depths of our faith and our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ in the world that we are living in today. Storms will reveal to you whether you live by faith or you live by fear. Storms will reveal to you if your heart is full of trust or doubt, hope or despair. Storms expose weakness. They reveal human frailty. Storms challenge our faith and cause us to ask, do I really trust in God? Do I really love God more than I love myself? And a discipleship lesson for us in this particular verse is that the storms of life reveal our daily need for faith building, our daily need for Jesus, the light of the world, to be at the center of all that we are. Are we walking according to his will? Are we seeking his face? As we sang earlier, O Lord. Think about this scene, because I want you to notice in this account how the Lord responds to his followers. I want you to notice in this account how the Lord responds when the disciples cry, Jesus, do you not care about what's happening to us? But think about the scene for a moment. The roar of the wind, the pounding of the waves, the cries of the disciples, the crash of thunder, lightning, and Jesus is asleep. But it was none of these sounds that awoke our Savior, was it? What was it that arose our Savior, awoke him? It was when the disciples asked for help. It was when the disciples turned to Jesus. And here we have this important reminder that the Lord always hears the call of his people above the storm. What another important discipleship lesson. The Lord always hears our call. Listen to Psalm 50, verse 15. I'm going to read to you three verses from the Psalms. I want you to pick up what they all have in common. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. Psalm 86, verse 7. When I am in distress, I call to you, because you answer me. And in Psalm 107, verse 13, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. What do these three verses from Psalms have in common? Calling upon the Lord in faith. Calling upon the Lord, believing that God, who is the God of the impossible, will help you, rescue you. Not carrying it yourself. And that would be the opposite of calling upon the Lord. Just trying to hold it in, trying to figure it out without him. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them. Again, Isaiah 26, verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And one act of trusting in God is calling upon him in prayer. Together, as believers, collectively, individually, in your own prayer walk with the Lord. Our Lord knew the storm was coming, and he did not delay their departure from going across the Sea of Galilee. He permitted the storm and led them into it. He allowed them to feel the fury of the storm. He appeared to be unconcerned about the storm, but he was with them in the storm. And as long as he was with them, there was hope and there was safety and peace. Look at verse 39. Jesus got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Completely calm. In response to their cry, Jesus gets up and performs a miracle. The Lord answers their cry and he stills the storm and sees them to the other side. Jesus stills the storm. He does it by speaking to the waves, to the wind, to the storm, and it becomes calm. What a reminder to us who God is, Lord of creation. This was something that, as we are reminded in Matthew 19:26, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So during the storm, some of the disciples, of course, being fishermen, they applied their years of experience and their strength to attempt to save their boat and their lives, but the storm prevailed over them. And in their effort, it didn't pay off. Then they called upon Jesus. Then they called upon Jesus, and Jesus, the Lord, spoke and said, "Peace, be still." And immediately the powerful storm ceased and there was calm. Guess what? His disciples were seized with wonder after this miracle, because for them, it was impossible to overcome such a storm, and they were wondering how Jesus was able to command away a mighty storm of this caliber that had outdone their own wisdom, their own efforts, their own strength. In this passage, the storm isn't the point. It's who was with them. It's who is Jesus, as we see them ask that question in verse 41. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now in verse 40 earlier, Jesus, after calming the storm in verse 40, he says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now that might seem a little harsh perhaps, but think about it for a moment. The disciples had failed to trust his promise. Jesus had said earlier, remember, "Let us go over to the other side." Jesus had promised they would safely arrive. And he has promised us that he will get us there too. Will it be smooth sailing every day, every week? No. If you are in a storm even now, if the waves are beating around your head and you feel like you are going to sink and are ready to abandon ship, don't. Jesus will get you there. You will arrive because of who Jesus is and what he has done for you. So I encourage you to turn to the Lord in prayer. I encourage you, I challenge you to continue to open your Bibles and read God's living word and study it. I encourage you to reach out to other believers and to fellowship with other believers, because we're not meant to go through these storms alone. Jesus was with all of his followers in that boat, and they were experiencing it together. Jesus was there with them, and he is there with you too, for he has promised you, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So as we look at this passage where Jesus is calming this storm, let me ask you, is God up to your storm? Do you really feel your circumstances have beaten you? That God is as overwhelmed by it all as you are? Well, let me tell you, not a bit. He is with you, and he is Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth. And the storm, like I said, is really real and it's very terrifying, but it's not the point of the passage. The disciples believe that they will not survive, but the point is not about surviving the storm. The point is about who is in the boat with them. Who is in your life with you? Who is Jesus to you? Yes, Jesus can calm the storms of our lives. That is wonderfully true, and I myself have been encouraged by that knowledge. But Jesus didn't come to calm storms. He came to save souls. Because when this life on earth ends, eternity begins. Jesus came to earth to say, I am the life, I am the truth, I am the way. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus came to rescue us and to from the power and from the penalty of sin. And he did it by giving his life for you and for me. Why? Because God loves you so much, and he wants you to be with him in heaven when this life is over. Again, I'm reminded through this passage that Jesus didn't come to give me a comfortable life. He came to defeat death and be the Savior to all who will repent of their sins and turn to the Lord for forgiveness, knowing that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will not perish but have everlasting life. So let me ask you today, if there is anyone here who knows that they are going through life without Christ, who knows that they have sinned and would perish without Jesus if they died today, I don't want this moment to pass without an opportunity for you to say yes to Jesus as the Savior of your life. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning, or if the Spirit's been working on you, and you want to say yes to Christ today, you can accept him right here, right now, by putting your trust in Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Repent and believe, because Jesus says he has come to be your Savior and mine. Jesus can calm the storms of our lives. Praise God. But even if he does not, you can trust that he will uphold you, that you can believe that he will transform your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can know that he loves you each and every day, a love that nothing on earth can separate. So let us not lose heart. As the word of the Lord says, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. That's 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 17. So as we close our time together in this passage, let me remind you today that Christian discipleship, following Jesus, it is a journey of becoming more and more like Christ and bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. God doesn't just want us to know about Jesus. He wants you to become like him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a few discipleship lessons that we saw revealed in this passage today, and there are more. So continue to read through your Bible, study it, pray that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to understand the spiritual lessons inside of them and live them out obediently each and every day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the Savior. You came to be our Savior and Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, today for hearing our cry. And Lord, if there is anyone even here today, Lord, whose life has been turned upside down because of such hardship and difficult circumstances, Lord, I just encourage you, Lord, to call out to the Lord. Just cast over to him all those things that you might be worried about, afraid of, or anxious about. Know that he is with you. Know that he is hearing your prayer in distress. Thank you, God, that nothing is impossible with you. We thank you that on gatherings like this, your word reminds us, Lord, that you're in control, that we can trust in your promises no matter what we're going through. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for being our Lord and Savior. And Lord, as we sang earlier, God, and through the power of your Lord, of your word and your presence here, Lord, please light the fire. Light that fire that once burned bright and clear in our lives. Lord, thank you that we have this opportunity even today to renew our love and commitment to you through worship and prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.